God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. On this final program in the series, Brother Hutchings visits once again with Dr. Carl Baugh. Dr. Baugh is founder of the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas. He holds degrees in archaeology and theology and trots the globe uncovering evidence that proves the biblical view of creation is correct and that evolution is nothing more than a theory. Get ready for another exciting program. Here again is Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. On the last program, Dr. Baugh brought out that to start a universe, you would have to have matter. And in the Genesis 1:1, we read, "In beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." No one has been able to improve on that, have they?
They have not been able to improve upon it. They can't even imagine any system that would be better. For instance, from the radiant light, now we get a concentration of that light from the sun, that light and all of this radiant energy traveling at the speed of light travels at the following constant, 186,282.02446 miles per second. Now that's very, very fast. So that means in 8 minutes, the light from the sun will reach planet Earth. And there is a shield, the Earth's electromagnetic field, even today after we've lost the crystalline canopy at the time of the flood, there's still a shield outside the Earth, the electromagnetic energy, which filters out most of the shortwave radiation. Now, we are losing that shield. We're losing the magnetic field of the Earth. And to the degree that we're losing that shield, we have incidents of cancer because the shortwave radiation is not filtered out. But in the original design of the creation, with a canopy in place and with the stronger magnetic field, that shortwave radiation would be assimilated right back into that magnetic field of the Earth. It's called the EMF, Earth's magnetic field. And it would keep that field sustained. Now, the mechanism for that field being sustained has been lost. It was the firmamental canopy. We lost that at the time of the flood. It rained down, and that provided some of the waters of the flood. The greatest amount of the waters came from inside the earth with the eruption of the fountains of the great deep. But back to the sun itself, this light traveling, we rounded off at 186,000 miles per second, taking 8 minutes to reach planet Earth, is at precisely the right distance. And being at that distance, it means that the diameter of the sun appears to be, from planet Earth, the same diameter of the moon. Now, the moon, of course, is much closer. It's much smaller. It's roughly 223,000 miles from us. And it varies slightly. That's the reason I say roughly. So it appears, they appear to be the same size in the heavens. And this, too, is by design. That means that because of the Earth's position coming between the sun and the moon, the reflectivity of the moon goes through phases. Now, these phases are critically important. They're important to stimulate the growth enzymes of plants. You know, the old-timers, Dr. Hutchings, planted at a particular time in a moon phase. And they did better than we do with our global concentration of megafarms.
Certainly. Dr. Baugh, if God had placed the Earth a little bit farther from the sun, it would have been too cold. Or a little bit closer to the sun, it would have been too hot.
That's precisely right.
So it had to be done exactly, or there wouldn't be life here.
That is precisely correct.
And all this didn't happen by accident.
It happened by the design of our beneficent Creator.
Now let's look at the sun. What is the sun? It's a nuclear instrument, isn't it?
That is right. It's a nuclear engine designed specifically to provide radiation. But radiation at the specific wavelength that is detectable to the human eye. And this not only makes possible the transfer from chlorophyll to organic compounds in the plants, but it makes possible our ability to see. There's a lot of additional radiation given off from the sun, but that which we receive because of the filtering system makes possible our detection and being able to observe objects in front of us.
Now, the sun takes hydrogen through nuclear fusion and converts it into light.
That is correct.
Now, this light travels through temperatures of, 200 degrees below zero, something like that, and yet it doesn't lose any of its heat properties, and it strikes the earth and it releases the heat. Now, it took more than a shade tree mechanic to figure that out, didn't it?
It is right. That is right. Now, we're only now beginning to understand what's going on, and we certainly couldn't perform it. But God performed it all. And the sun being 93 million miles away, and between us and the sun in space, in most areas, it's 3 degrees Kelvin, 3 degrees above absolute zero. And as you stated, that's below 200 degrees Fahrenheit, below zero, when you approach absolute zero. Yet, the inherent characteristics of the light are not affected at all. It does its thing. This took some incredible ingenuity.
And it's just amazing. Could you give us a scientific definition of light? What is light? I know it has weight, but what is light?
Well, there have been discussions that have gone on among the physicists for generations as to whether light is a wave or a particle. I'm in touch regularly with one of the world's great physicists, Dr. David Otway Ray, and we discuss this subject from time to time. Why light has characteristics of both waves and particles. And particles are simply materialized vibratory energy. So it would be consistent with the nature of the Creator to give the full benefits from His radiant glory. And actually, when He said, "Let there be light," on day number one of creation, and that was a literal solar day, this all happened very rapidly. When He said, "Let there be light," this was a transference of His own energy and purpose materialized into physical, tangible form. So light is both a wave and a particle. Now, these waves range from very narrow wavelength in the ultraviolet range and smaller, but ultraviolet is what we can detect and we're observing from planet Earth and its effects on living systems. That's 2.5 billion vibrations per second. Then it reaches out to the infrared spectrum. And those are very broad waves, but we're bathed in all of this, and the entire universe is bathed in all of this energy. And actually, it's an orchestrated entity. There's a principle called resonance, so that the wave energy from one body, one star body, being received by another star body, helps to bring that into resonance and keep the whole thing tuned. Well, we've had disruption because of sin, and sin certainly, a human being, a moral being, has a psyche, a thought process, a mind, and a thought process that literally produces waves. And these waves help to bring discord into everything that is affected by these waves. And that's tragic. Sin affects everything around it, and the human body and the moral conscience affects everything negatively because of these vibes and these waves. Well, light has within it all of the coherent factors necessary for life and godliness on planet Earth. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the light and the life are directly associated. Physical life could not be possible without the vibratory and radiant energy of light itself.
Certainly. And, of course, Jesus said that he was the light of the world. And without light, there would be no life. If you're going to make a universe, you have to have light. God made light before he made anything to live here on earth, before he made any form of life.
And that was in his incredible, infinite wisdom to do so. To have a system waiting for the light would not have been proper. So God, before clothing planet earth with a living system, produced the light so that the light was waiting to give full benefit for those living systems.
We read, first there was matter, then there was light, and then there was the atmosphere, the firmaments, of course, which include the atmosphere.
That's correct.
And if we didn't have atmosphere here with certain properties, there couldn't be life either, could there?
That is absolutely correct. Respiration of living systems requires the atmosphere and atmospheric pressure, plus the components of the atmosphere, the oxygen in particular, for mammals and animals in general, even reptiles, and then the carbon dioxide for most of the plants. So God made the constituents of the atmosphere just right. And this firmament, as you've indicated, involves the atmosphere, the expanse of space, and in particular, the canopy above the earth, all working in orchestration by the great conductor, the Creator himself.
Now, let's consider the atmosphere. I know Mr. Gore wants to get rid of CO2s. But if there was no CO2, there wouldn't be any plants, would there?
Well, without the plants taking in the carbon dioxide, we would have no oxygen. It's the balance of these elemental compounds that's at stake. And by the way, leading scientists are negating all of the campaigning and the propaganda about global warming. A few years ago, just a few decades ago, back in the 1970s, the great concern was global cooling. And the real problem, there is some global warming, but it is not the results of our chlorofluorohydrocarbons. It's not the results of our expunging more carbon dioxide. And we do need to be more considerate of our planet because it's a balanced, delicate facility. But at the same time, it's very resilient. And a number of outstanding scientists are pointing to the fact that it's the sunspot activity. It's the cyclical activity of the sun. Every 12 years, the sun goes through a variation, a cycle of sunspot activity. And it's the increased radiation from the sun that is warming. And there's not a thing we can do about this. It's not a result of our industrialization. Even though we certainly do need to filter the discharge, we need to be kind to planet Earth because it's the incubation in which we live. But it is not Gaia. It is not Mother Earth. It did not produce us. We were produced by the Creator, placed on planet Earth, enjoying its compounds and its elements, all orchestrated by Him.
But the plants take in carbon dioxide, CO2, and give off oxygen, and we take in oxygen and give off carbon dioxide, or CO2. Doesn't most of the CO2 come from the ocean anyway?
Yes, yes. Actually, the ocean absorbs a tremendous amount of oxygen and carbon dioxide and discharges some of that at the appropriate time. We're not going to be able to change all of that. Again, we need to be considerate and filter. We need to be careful about the discharge of waste products. But there's a respiration that takes place. As you indicated, plants respire, taking in carbon dioxide, giving off oxygen.
But it's amazing, if everything was not balanced, if there was no light, there would be no life on Earth. And if the atmosphere was just right, there would be no life on the Earth. If the sun was a little bit farther from the Earth, there would be no life. Or if it was a little bit closer, there would be no life. And, we don't consider that all these things had to be just perfect. And who did all this? Did they all come about just by accident?
One of the books in my library is titled The Rare Earth, and it was written by secular scientists who recognize that Earth has a combination of all of these factors you've just been describing, and in spite of the SETI experiments, in spite of billions of dollars spent in space exploration and detection, while there is speculation that there might be another planet here, another planet there, they've never seen any of these planets. They've only detected a slight wobble, which would infer from the activity of a smaller sun, would infer the presence of a planet. So they've not been able to observe these planets. And this Rare Earth book states implicitly that the factors of Earth were designed for the benefit of living systems to such a degree that there has never been even an inference of any other planet or system that could sustain life. As much as we have a lot of propaganda relating to Martian activity, there is no indication whatsoever that life could be sustained on that planet in spite of all our activities going forth in space research. Certainly couldn't be sustained on the moon. And there's some thought, Dr. Hutchings, that among creationists, that due to the activity of the disruption at the time of the flood with the violent discharge of the fountains of the great deep, that actually some of the material, some of the rocks containing bacterial matter could actually reach 17,000 miles per hour, which is the escape velocity, and could actually be impelled out into space. So if they find organic material on the surface of Mars, in all probability it came from planet Earth and was expelled at the time of the flood. So all of this, again, as you have stated on this program, requires the orchestration of a beneficent creator. It could not have happened by chance. It had to be designed.
Dr. Ma, is there any evidence that any organic matter was found on the moon or on Mars?
No. Now, some of the supposed Mars rocks supposedly had a crystalline formation, which, and we're not absolutely sure those rocks came from Mars. They were actually found at the South Pole and laid in a laboratory for years, and then were re-examined. So there were chains of crystalline material. And under certain conditions, bacteria, in their deterioration, leave a residue of chains somewhat like this. So, of course, all the hoopla. I remember I was in Singapore coming back from Papua New Guinea on a research project. And I was in Singapore Airport when NASA announced that they had discovered evidence of carbon-based life. And what was the evidence? It was these little crystals they had found. Well, upon further examination, these same crystals are consistent with the structure of materials like carbon monoxide, exhaust, car exhaust. And there's a lot of compound like this scattered throughout space. This is not life at all, even though life, as we know it, is carbon-based. There's a lot of inorganic, non-living carbon out there throughout space. Recently, it was discovered that there was a sun or a star, and surrounding that was an envelope of carbonized material. So that's part of the Creator's design throughout the universe. And then scientists began to publish in the technical literature stating what was announced to be the residue of carbon-based life was actually the residue of monomers, a consistent chains of basic elements that are carbon-based. And that's no big news anywhere. That's not the result of life. So no, life has not been found on Mars? Are the rocks from Earth supposedly impelled from Mars? Once the dust all settled, it was a very quiet anti-climax.
Thank you, Dr. Ball, and I certainly agree with you, because I think this is a fantasy. But we appreciate you being with us for these programs. I would certainly encourage our listeners to pray for your work down at Glen Rose, Texas. Your museum is coming along?
Yes, we're making good progress. In a matter of months, we should be in our permanent facility and remove the temporary facility. I appreciate your prayers and the concern and the fact that many of your listeners have visited the Creation Evidence Museum at Glen Rose, Texas.
Do you have a website or a number they can contact you in case they want to visit you?
Certainly, creationevidence.org. Just go on the web, log on to creationevidence.org, and that'll give you the location, the hours we're open, and give you a lot of scientific information supporting creation.
I certainly would encourage our listeners to write or call or visit our website and order your books. Panorama of Creation, and your other book is Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds? And we're certainly going to pray for you, and we still hope to get together with you for a game of golf.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. To get either or both books by Dr. Ball, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. The 91-page book, Panorama of Creation, is offered for a gift of $10. And Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds, the 160-page hardback, is available when you make a contribution of $20. Better yet, get both books at the same time in appreciation of your $25 offering. The five programs in this series are on cassette tape or CD. Get them for a gift of $20. If you know someone who adamantly espouses the theory of evolution, give him or her a copy of Dr. Ball's books, asking them to read the books with an open mind. Now, that may be difficult for them to do, but if a person will be objective and open to the information presented, it might just change the individual's mind about evolution, because evolution really does not make sense, logically or scientifically. Literally thousands of these books have been disseminated by Southwest Radio as a part of our effort to inform people about the truth of biblical creation and the lies of evolution. Again, get either or both of Dr. Ball's books, Why Do Men Believe Evolution Against All Odds, complete with color photographs and charts, for an offering of $20. Panorama of Creation is available when you make a $10 contribution, or get both for a gift of $25. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio at Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or visit the web at swrc.com. Next week, Brother Hutchings speaks with Tom Horn about his intriguing book entitled Nephilim Stargates, the Year 2012, and the Return of the Watchers. It's time now for a Bible in the News report over most of these stations. Join Brother Hutchings Monday for that new series on your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. In these last days, we are witnessing the Bible-predicted apostasy of the church. It's seen in practices found in some local bodies of believers. Apostasy is especially evident among those congregations that have turned away from what the Bible says about sin. A good example is found in a story from the Florida Baptist Witness posted on its internet website in December. We're quoting from FloridaBaptistWitness.com. This story was posted December 20th, 2007. Quote, members of Broadway Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, voted December 2nd to delay a decision on whether to include homosexual members as couples in a church pictorial directory. Baptist Press broke the story of the church contention on November 6. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram said the church's deacons would recommend a solution to the issue by February 4. We do not want to rush to make a decision, but rather to continue to listen to each other and for God's leading to our church, Deacon Chairman Kathy Majita said in a statement. Our members have diverse opinions about many things, but what we have in common is our love for God, the church, and each other. Pastor Brent Younger addressed the issue from the pulpit December 2nd, according to sermon audio posted on the church website. Some of the most committed Christians in our congregation are baffled by this whole episode, Younger said. They are seeking the best they know how to be faithful to Scripture and follow Jesus. They've been taught all their lives what the Bible says on this issue, and those who read the Scripture in a different way don't seem to be taking the Bible seriously. The verses in Leviticus seem straightforward on homosexuality. How can the majority opinion throughout 2,000 years of church history suddenly be wrong? It's hard for these gracious Christians to understand how anyone could disagree. But there are thoughtful Christians who feel differently, Younger continued. We look at the compassion of Jesus and the way he included everybody, and it seems clear that we should do the same. The church is a member of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, Baptist General Convention of Texas, and Tarrant Baptist Association. Close quotes. Did Jesus really include everyone? Let's look to the Scriptures for an answer. Jesus said this to the religious leaders of his day. Quote, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Close quotes. That's from Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. And that's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries' Watchman on the Wall program. These reports, as well as questions and answers, are published each month in a booklet. If you would like a copy of that booklet, call, write, or visit our website. Please include a gift of $3 to cover shipping and handling. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Again, 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma. The zip code is 73008. Or visit our website at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.